the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And the music you are hearing, very familiar. Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA. And every time President Trump gives an address, they play that particular song. What's fascinating about the song you are hearing now is where it's happening. You are hearing Lee Greenwood singing God Bless the USA from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And the president of the United States there in Saudi Arabia, and the president giving remarks at an economic investment forum. But here's what's fascinating about this. You had every Arab, and there are just thousands of people in the room, every person in the room, including all the Muslims, are standing up and they're saluting and applauding Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump has literally conquered the world. What an incredible thing. And the president delivering remarks, he is right in the middle of his speech talking about how the greatest hope is to be a peacemaker. So truly a remarkable thing. We're going to be monitoring the president's speech, and we'll be bringing you clips of it. But the Democrats have to hate this. Donald Trump understands that if we are going to be successful, not just as a nation, but in the world at large, we have to have peace. We cannot be at war. And Donald Trump is even fighting members of his own administration and the war hawks within the Republican Party who want to go and they want to wage war against Iran. By the way, the president announcing that Iran will never have a nuclear weapon, and I believe that. Under this administration, I truly believe that. So anyway, it's an exciting time for America, President Trump being so well-received. You know, it's interesting that you had the Saudi royal family going out and meeting President Trump as Air Force One landed. That did not happen when Joe Biden was president. So there is a great level of respect directed at Donald Trump and the United States. And ladies and gentlemen, I think it is safe to say that we are back. The United States of America is once again respected around the world. They may not like us. They may hate our guts. But you know what? They respect us. And that's all because of Donald Trump and his America First policies. China understands this, which is why they came groveling back to the table and said, okay, let's work something out with the tariffs. So anyway, the president is on a tour of the Middle East. This is, by the way, his first major international trip of his second term in office. He'll be visiting the United Arab Emirates, also Qatar. But it really is night and day how the Saudis are treating America. They hated Joe Biden. They had no respect for Joe Biden at all. By the way, the president just saying seconds ago that the biggest and most destructive forces in the region, Iran. And he says Iran is responsible for causing all sorts of suffering. And he's absolutely right. In Syria, Lebanon, Gaza, Iraq, Yemen, across the entire region. So what I found very interesting is the president also went there. You know, the Abraham Accords, the 2020 agreement that established diplomatic relations with Israel between the UAE and Bahrain. And the president said he really hopes that Saudi Arabia, too, will join the Abraham Accords and normalize relationships with Israel. Not a popular opinion among Saudis, but the president going out there and saying what needs to be said. So I say, good for you. Good for you, Mr. President. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. By the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. Always fun to start the show with some breaking news, especially happy breaking news that Donald Trump is really, really doing quite well on the international stage right now. Speaking of Qatar, and this is a jumping off point for us, there is a scandal brewing regarding Air Force One. And of course, Qatar wanting to gift a $400 million 747 called the Palace of the Air to President Trump. This, by the way, was actually built by Boeing. All right. So here's where we need to have the conversation. The reason we're even in this spot is because the current Air Force One is over 40 years old. Over 40 years old. Now, our family has a unique relationship with Boeing, and my great uncle Gene Bolin was one of the early test pilots for Boeing. As a matter of fact, he was one of the people that actually flew out. So whatever a Boeing jetliner was built, constructed, they would fly. My uncle Gene would go, and he would teach the pilots in those particular countries how to fly this jetliner. And Uncle Gene is very well known in aviation circles. He is he was a well-respected aviator going all the way back to Korea. And Uncle Gene, he passed away last year, but he had this incredible legacy, an incredible career with Boeing. He retired in the Tacoma area. Our entire family, by the way, was in the aviation industry. My uncle Bunny flew a B-17 Lazy Baby during World War II. He was injured, and he spent the rest of the war in a German POW camp where the movie The Great Escape took place. He was shot down over Germany, Schweinfurt. My other uncle, Uncle Louie, was among those injured. His feet were frozen during the Korean War at Lake Chosin. All of his brothers served in the military, and many of them were aviators. Uncle Gene was enlisted in the Marine Corps. And he joined the brand new, he was in the very first class of air cadets to train in these jets. On the same day, though, Uncle Gene was a rabble-rouser. He was a lot of fun. The same day he was awarded his wings at Williams Air Force Base in Arizona, he and a classmate decided to celebrate by flying their T-33 jets inverted through the Grand Canyon. Unfortunately, Uncle Gene was the only one who got caught, and he was then tossed out of the Air Force. However, there was a politician in South Carolina who came to Uncle Gene's defense. Our entire family is from South Carolina originally. And Uncle Gene, thanks to then-Governor Strom Thurmond, was able to get Uncle Gene back into the brand new, newly created United States Air Force. And his first assignment was spent 2 years on probation in Newfoundland, Canada. Uncle Gene in Canada flew the de Havilland Beavers and was assigned to monitor large herds of caribou. That was his punishment. So anyway, he went on to have a pretty incredible career in the Air Force and then on to Boeing. And I'm getting to all of this. There's a point to this. Uncle Gene was the leader of a group of several Boeing 747 crews. He was the private pilot for Aristotle Onassis. And he frequently flew Jackie Kennedy and John and Caroline on many of these flights. He was also the private pilot at one time for the Sultan of Brunei. Uncle Gene had a really amazing career and life with Boeing. And I think Uncle Gene would actually be ashamed of what has happened to Boeing. And it really does make you wonder what the heck is going on at Boeing right now. By the way, Uncle Gene, he was memorialized at the Museum of Flight at Boeing Field in Seattle when he passed away last year. And I say that because Boeing has had plenty of opportunities to build the brand new Air Force One. As a matter of fact, it was supposed to have already been built and constructed in 2022. They should already be flying the brand new state-of-the-art Air Force One jets. Now we understand that Boeing, they're billions of dollars behind schedule. Now they're saying it could be 2027 before they're actually able to get the plane delivered. And even then, it may not happen. So here's what I find fascinating about all of this. During World War II, when my great uncles were out there flying, there were not that many planes. As a matter of fact, there weren't many ships either. We literally, the United States, and many of you old timers will remember these days, where the United States had to engage in the greatest military industrial effort in the history of planet Earth. And during the span of World War II, more than 300,000 airplanes were actually constructed during the war. More than 300,000. Ford, the automaker, they converted their automobile plants to create airplanes. Everybody pitched in. It was a national effort to win the war and to stop the Nazis and the Japs. At Willow Run, that was a Ford plant. Their production schedule was so fierce, they were literally producing a B-24 Liberator in less than 2 days. By the way, one bomber was literally built in about an hour. So I want somebody to explain to me, how is it that Boeing, one of the biggest defense contractors in the world, can't produce two 747 jetliners? This has been years in the making. By the way, Elon Musk, SpaceX, you ready for this one? The Falcon 1 spaceship, the very first spaceship that Elon Musk created, took 18 months to build. We're not going into outer space here. We're flying the President of the United States to places like Saudi Arabia. So what's the problem? And it just seems to me that all of the executives at Boeing, they should be ashamed. Uncle Gene would be enraged over this right now. And the workers ought to be embarrassed. I mean, is this what Boeing has become? And I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's because Boeing's been all but guaranteed these contracts by Uncle Sam. And they know nobody's ever going to say anything. Nobody's going to object to this. Nearly 50% of its revenue comes from government contracts. And by the way, Boeing is one of the top, I think they're ranked number six, one of the top defense contractors in the world, and they can't do this? So it's either intentional, and they're dragging all of this out, knowing that Uncle Sam is going to keep forking over money no matter how much money it takes and no matter how much time it takes, or Boeing is suffering from the same affliction shared by many other major corporations and, dare I say, government agencies as well. You mean to tell me that it takes 15, 20 years to build an airport? It takes, what, 10 years to, or, and by the way, in Germantown, Tennessee, it took them almost 2 years to build an intersection. Really? It really takes that long? Or maybe, just maybe, a lot of these major corporations and governments have just grown fat and lazy. But whatever reason, this is why this $400 million airplane that Qatar is gifting back to the United States is causing controversy. But the real controversy, and one the mainstream media will not talk about, is the fact that you've got Boeing out there, and that is the true scandal, that they are taking our tax money and they are not producing what they said they would produce. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is really the story here. All right, we've got to take a quick break. I've got more to say about this, but a lot of people, including conservative talk show host Ben Shapiro, Eric Erickson, they're all enraged that Donald Trump is accepting this gift of an airplane from Qatar. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. America doesn't need barbed wire or secret police to lose freedom. All it takes is silence. Live Not by Lies is a gripping docuseries by Angel Studios that reveals how soft totalitarianism is creeping into everyday life. Through powerful stories from people who lived under communism, it warns of what happens when we surrender truth for safety. This is a must-watch for anyone who loves faith, family, and freedom. Stream the series now, only on Angel Guild, by visiting angel.com/starns. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Our website, toddstearns.com. I'd encourage you to go and check out our website. We have some great new content up for you today. Let's go to the phones. Winston-Salem, North Carolina, WSJS, our terrific affiliate there. MC, what is on your mind?
Well, the Boeing plane is on my mind, as it was on yours, and kudos to your family that'll make America great. My aunt built P-38s and Vultee Vikings in Nashville. She was Rosie the Riveter.
Wow, is that right?
My father-in-law was a tail gunner. That is correct. Now, I want to say something about that plane. When somebody offers you $400 million to your country, you accept it graciously, and you do with it what you please, which could include transporting illegal aliens back to their home country, and they wouldn't be charged with a cruel and unusual punishment by making them sit in a, say, a C-141, and it was real cold.
It's a fair point, MC. That's why I'm not understanding why there's such outrage among Republicans. You know, Mark Levin, Eric Erickson, Ben Shapiro, they're just blasting President Trump for this. It looks to me like it's a government-to-government transaction here.
It helps the trade imbalance, and it builds friendship and goodwill. And you just say thank you. I mean, if somebody offered me a gaudy Rolls Royce, which is not my favorite car, I would just say thank you, and then I'd use it maybe to transport poor people. I don't know. Just think about it, America. Use your noggin.
So you don't have a problem with this, MC?
I don't have a problem with it. We got the Coast Guard has a war prize called the Bark Eagle that was used by the Nazis. Now, we took it from them. Now, that's a little different. That's apples to oranges. But let's just take the gift and say thank you. I don't think President Trump should jump on it right away without it being gone through by our people.
Oh, of course.
At Dover or wherever. But, man, come on. Just be friends with people.
Look, just think about this, MC, and I appreciate the call. The computer's going to cut us off here in a minute. I will say this. It's sort of like, and again, scale is a little off. But it's sort of like when you go in and the police, they raid the drug houses and they take over the homes and the cars, and then they use those for good. And that's what it looks like Trump is doing here. Again, this is not being parked at Mar-a-Lago. All right, let's understand that. We'll be right back. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 6-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, the media, the drive-bys, are just enraged right now, as are Democrats, who are just furious that President Trump brought in a group of about 50 or 60 white refugees from South Africa. And people are really upset about this. It's really fascinating. And this is probably one of the least reported stories in the world, has been the genocide that's been waged against white South Africans, and specifically white farmers, and the government going in and literally taking away farmland from white farmers. Many of them have been slaughtered in some of the most grotesque ways. It's a genocide. President Trump brought this up yesterday as the South Africans were welcomed to American soil. And may I just say something? If you've seen the video of the refugees, it really does provide some clarity to what's really going on here. Now, the Democrats, they believe in protecting the illegals that are coming across our border. We're talking about the young men of military age. These guys who say they're fleeing the turmoil and the poverty in their home countries, and yet all of these are young men. There are no women and children. The young men are very well dressed. They've got the latest hairstyles. They're wearing very expensive shoes, and they're invading our country. Many of them are gang members, and they're traffickers, whether it be drugs or humans. And that's who the mainstream media adores. They will fight to the death for those people. Meanwhile, when you look at the white South Africans, they all came here with families, husbands, wives, children. And you know what was fascinating? They came here the right way. They applied to be refugees, and every single one of them was waving an American flag. All the people coming across our southern border are waving the flags of their home countries. Just to give you a little perspective here. So anyway, President Trump is catching holy hell over this. Cut number five, please.
Because they're being killed, and we don't want to see people be killed. Now, South Africa leadership is coming to see me, I understand, sometime next week. And, you know, we're supposed to have a G20 meeting there or something, but we're having a G20 meeting. I don't know how we can go unless that situation's taken care of, but it's a genocide that's taking place that you people don't want to write about, but it's a terrible thing that's taking place, and farmers are being killed. They happen to be white, but whether they're white or black makes no difference to me, but white farmers are being brutally killed, and their land is being confiscated in South Africa, and the newspapers and the media, television media, doesn't even talk about it. If it were the other way around, they talk about it, that would be the only story they talk about. And I don't care who they are. I don't care about their race, their color. I don't care about their height, their weight. I don't care about anything. I just know that what's happening is terrible. I have people that live in South Africa. They say it's a terrible situation taking place. So we've essentially extended citizenship to those people to escape from that violence and come here.
So what the president's doing here is a good thing. These are literally people who need to be rescued. And there are many others. Whites are under attack in South Africa. I mean, it really is that simple. And the reaction really tells you a lot about what's really going on here in this country. Now, Tucker Carlson and many others, and myself, I would include myself into this mix of folks, we have been warning you for quite some time about, and there's, for lack of a better term, this idea of a replacement theory, that the reason why the Democrats are opening up our borders and allowing people to come in unfettered by the millions, President Trump estimated 20 million, I would say probably about 40 million. But anyway, let's just say 20 million people. That's an invasion force the size of multiple states. But the reason they were doing that, and the theory is that they wanted to flood the nation and to replace traditional white voters. They wanted to ensure that the white population, the Anglo-Saxon population of the United States of America, was diminished and marginalized. And that's why you are seeing this movement in many of the academic institutions, if not all of them, to embrace diversity and tolerance. They're doing it right in front of our faces. But a lot of people are afraid to talk about it because they don't want to be accused of being racist, when in fact what they are doing to white people in America is in fact racism. But you would have black historians out there and the black activist who would say that no, the only people that can be victims of racism are in fact black people. And when you look at the stories, and you have to give credit here to Elon Musk, because Elon's ex has allowed videos and stories to be shared showing that white people across this country are ferociously under assault right now. You're not seeing these stories in the media. You have a child, and again, we don't use racial epithets on this program. We just don't. It disgusts me. But honestly, in today's society, it is almost permissible to kill someone because they use that word. Using that particular word is a greater crime than going out and murdering somebody. I mean, that's where we are in the country. It makes absolutely no sense. By the way, if the word is so bad, and I'm just throwing this out there, but if the word really is as bad as they say it is, why do they use it all the time? Why? In the music, movies, day-to-day language? Just curious. I've always wondered that. I mean, if it's so bad and so evil, why do they glorify the word in their day-to-day language and in the music and the culture? Just curious here. So anyway, what we have discovered as a result of granting refuge to these white farmers is that the Democrats don't want them. The Democrats specifically do not want white refugees resettling in the United States of America. Cut number one, please.
Violence does not equal genocide. That's so right. We need to be really, really clear about that, because if you look
at the
violence,
dead guy, you may not say that.
Actually, because if you look at what genocide is, it is very specific that you're trying to get rid of a people, a whole group of people. There is violence in South Africa. They've had a very big uptick in violence. But black people have seen the brunt of that violence.
Okay.
Not just.
So let me ask this question of the panel. If you get a passport and you're South African and you have that passport and you're of Dutch descent, and someone else has the same passport, is this a tainted passport? Is it not equal? Are you not a citizen? Do you not have the same rights?
You know what?
Are there special?
No. You're right. It's the same passport. That means you have to follow the laws. Each person has to follow the laws. And right now what the Dutch is saying, they don't want to follow the laws of the land. So they're saying their passport, like it was during apartheid, when Africans didn't even have a passport because they had a passport.
I'm hearing them saying, my passport's not the same, and I fear for my life, and I'm leaving the country. That's what I'm hearing.
I also thought Trump said we're going to enforce immigration laws. And this is not enforcing immigration laws. It's breaking a law that clearly says if there's a genocide, you get to come as a refugee.
Well, he's put a refugee ban on practically everybody else. Most of that everybody else that I can think of are either black people or brown people.
So you see, they're making this about race. And we're going to play some audio. You know what? We'll play this audio where you're going to hear black panelists on CNN actually explain why they oppose letting white people resettle in the United States of America. Cut number two.
So if you think about the history of South Africa, it being under an apartheid system, where I think it is 80% of the population that are black Africans only own 4% of the land. That is because they were put in shanty towns and moved into areas where they had no rights. And so 30 plus years ago, they went through a the apartheid system ended, and they reformed their constitution under the great leader of Nelson Mandela, and that allowed for a racial reconciliation, one that this country has yet to do. But South Africa did it, and they reformed their constitution, and part of that is that the people who are native to that land deserve their rightful land back. That is not what the Afrikaners actually want to have happen, which are the white Africans. And so who are not originally from Africa, who colonized South Africa also. And so that is what they are saying is discrimination. Now, if the constitution in South Africa is discriminatory, they have their checks and balances in that land, just like we do. And that is for them to. So if the Afrikaners don't actually like the land, they can leave that country.
They are. They're leaving to come here.
No.
These refugees are coming here.
They can actually leave and go to where their native land is, which is probably Germany.
Are you against them coming here?
Holland. Probably.
Holland.
Are you against them coming here?
I'm against the hypocrisy of this administration.
No, that's not the question. The question is, are you against them coming here?
If there was actually a genocide happening, like there is in other places in Sudan, in the Congo, I'm not opposed for Congolese and for the Sudanese to come to Africa, just like I'm not opposed to Venezuelans and South Americans coming to America if they are fleeing and looking for asylum. What I am against, it's not about being against them. What I am against is that they are being given special treatment when there is not a genocide happening in South Africa and they just don't like the law of the land.
Okay, well, let's talk. First of all, there is a genocide happening and the world media just simply refuses to cover it. And the reason why is because the people being killed are white farmers. So let's talk about the law of the land. The new law of the land is a form of reparations. They're literally going in and they're taking away land and farms from white people who have farmed those lands for generations, and they are giving them to blacks. That's what's going on. That is the law of the land. That's what they're talking about. And by the way, and you heard in the conversation there on CNN, this is a shocking revelation, but on CNN, you heard you heard one of the commentators say, which is something we have yet to do here. That's what they're wanting to do here. So for example, let's say you own a house, and your house maybe, 150, 200 years ago was on a plantation. Well, they could come in and the descendants of those slaves could come in and say, we own your house now. You have to pack up and you have to go somewhere else. We're taking over the property. That's what is happening right now in South Africa. And by the way, when you look at a lot of these political parties in South Africa, and we would play all of this for you. Unfortunately, it's not in English. So we would have to have an interpreter for you. But when you hear the speeches, they're talking about waging even more genocide. And they're openly talking about this. They want to eradicate white people in South Africa. Here on this program, we believe that God created everybody. Black, white, red, yellow, black, white, precious in his sight. That's what we sing in Sunday school. But there's a large swath of people, even in this country, who believe that white people do not have a right to exist. And that's why President Trump is so enraged right now. As a matter of fact, earlier this year, he cut all funding to South Africa because of the horrible treatment of the white minorities in South Africa. That will happen here eventually, just so you're aware. And this is what President Trump, this is what Tucker Carlson, this is what others are trying to prevent from happening. But yes, a genocide is happening, ladies and gentlemen. And the idea that we can't welcome these people who came to this country the legal way, the right way, people waving American flags, loving this country, and you're telling me those are the kinds of people that aren't welcome here? I got a big problem with that. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That music from right here in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, I will say this about Memphis. We have a couple. I mean, first of all, this is a great city. Put the crime aside, and this is, and the Democrats who rule the city. It's a great city. And that music you just heard from the Memphis Central High School Jazz Band, and they are number one in the entire world. The entire world, ladies and gentlemen, the jazz band traveling to New York City, Lincoln Center, and over the weekend they participated in the essentially Ellington International High School Jazz Band Competition. Those are all teenagers you just heard there. Really just a remarkable group of young people, and it just shows you the level of talent we have here in Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee, home to the world's best barbecue. And I will fight you to the death on that. I'm talking about you, St. Louis, Kansas City. Texas, you guys don't count. You're brisket. That's different. We're talking about barbecue. And there's got to be a pig involved when we're talking about barbecue. I'm creating big problems on today's program. No, I love brisket. It's just, you know, brisket is brisket. Barbecue is ribs, pulled pork, barbecue bologna. Oh, that's a great meal. So anyway, the director of bands, his name is Ollie Liddell, and he is just an incredible musician doing so much for the community and for these young people. And I will tell you, they were trying to raise money to send the kids to the jazz competition, and they needed something like $30,000. Let me tell you something about Memphis, Tennessee. This is one of the most giving, one of the most kind cities in America. They raised well over $50,000 to send these kids to New York City in style. So it's good to see Memphis taking care of its own, of her own, and it's so exciting. These kids came back, and they are world champions. And if you get a chance, I know there's going to be a local concert. We'll try to find that information. But I'm telling you, music in Memphis, it's just off the charts, ladies and gentlemen. And I would love for you to come. You got to come stay at the Peabody Hotel. If you don't want to stay at the Peabody, maybe stay at one of the suburban hotels. We have some great hotels, brand new, beautiful hotels in Germantown, Tennessee. It's one of the great areas of the country. Go ride one of the river boats, take in Beale Street, have a good time. And congratulations again to these great kids. And it's important to give a shout out, and maybe something, you know, something great is happening in your community, your neighborhood. You want to give them a shout out. We'll let you do that on the program because there's a lot of great stuff happening in this country. So again, we salute the great kids, the jazz musicians at Central High School at Memphis, Tennessee, world jazz band champions. Well done, guys. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Satsas, that's right. I love this American ride.
All right, this story from Salem, Oregon. What a weird story. I'm sure our KYKN listeners are all over this one. Harkening back to the days of segregation, this time the roles are reversed. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Starnes Show. So the Salem Kaiser Public Schools holding graduation ceremonies. This year, those ceremonies will be segregated by race. The school district announcing they will hold a special event just for black graduates. The district posting a message on social media saying that this weekend we celebrated the many achievements of our African-American black graduates. A speaker shared, "You've made history, now go and make impact. We're so proud of you and can't wait to see the impact you make." Just as high schools hold award ceremonies for their graduates, the district holds several graduation celebrations for students of groups who have historically struggled to graduate or face barriers in school. These inclusive events allow students to receive special regalia and unite with peers who share their experiences and identities. By honoring students in this supportive setting, the district recognizes their accomplishments and diverse backgrounds. Okay, what about the white kids? What about the Asian kids? They got a huge Asian American population out on the left coast. What about them? Is the only way to be inclusive in Salem, Oregon, to exclude the white children? Is that what the new civil rights movement has become? Or is this the poison fruit of critical race theory and BLM? Because Salem Kaiser is literally judging students strictly by the color of their skin and not the content of their character or the grade point averages. So anyway, we have reached out to the Justice Department on this, primarily because of a little piece of Supreme Court ruling that declares state-sponsored segregation in public schools is unconstitutional. That would be Brown v. Board of Education. Really, this is the message we want to send kids with as they're ushered out into the real world? Come on. Do better, Salem Kaiser Public Schools. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Very honored to have a guest with us from the beautiful state of New Hampshire. Great people up there. He is a state representative, and he is quite passionate about education. Joe Alexander, a representative, good to have you with us today.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I want to pivot because there is a crazy story in New Hampshire. This is the headline. The University System of New Hampshire says they have no idea how many illegals are currently enrolled in its education institutions. Is this accurate?
We are as a legislature, we're absolutely flabbergasted that the university system has no idea how many illegals they are currently having in their education system. We put in right-to-know requests asking for that, and I feel like it's getting to the point where why are we sending public money to a university that is denying in-state students in favor of illegal aliens that are in our country? So we're kind of at the point in the budget season where we're trying to figure out how much money are we going to give a university system that doesn't put New Hampshire's students first.
You know, it's a fair point, and I know Columbia is an Ivy League school, and they're private. I get that. But their student body overall is nearly 30% international students. In some schools, it's more than 56%. And so to your point, exactly how many of these kids are you guys as taxpayers having to foot the bill for?
We don't really know. And you know, Columbia is a private school, but, you know, University of New Hampshire is a public school, and our university system should really be putting our students first. And I think that just goes to the point of I'm thankful that President Trump is putting in policies to get rid of this affirmative action and making sure we're knowing exactly whose students we're educating. And I do love the fact that any students that are deemed that are foreign students and committing acts of terror on our college campuses, they're being deported as well.
Well, they have to, and I'm with you on that. And you're going to come to this country, you're going to get an education, and then you're going to turn around and terrorize people? No. Yeah, those days are over. Yeah, back to wherever you came from.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why I'm also thankful that we have state-centered education, because in New Hampshire, we're leading the way on educational freedom. We're empowering parents, protecting parental privacy. We believe that parents should decide the best education for their children, whether public, private, homeschool. So we have a really state-of-the-art educational freedom in our state, and I'm happy to promote that nationwide, because states are really the center for educating their students. They know exactly, parents know exactly, like, what their students need, and state dollars should go towards whatever is the best fit school for their kids.
State Representative Joe Alexander with us from New Hampshire. What does that look like? Because there have been a lot of people concerned about, okay, we abolish the Department of Education, so we return control back to the states and local communities. What are you guys doing in New Hampshire that we ought to be doing elsewhere in the nation?
So currently we have a system where 350% of the federal poverty level, those students will qualify for educational freedom accounts, which they would be able to use towards homeschooling or private school, charter school, public school. So they're allowed different opportunities to spend this money wherever the parents deem that their students are learning best. We're currently working on expanding the program because, as you know and I know, we don't means test public education. We don't say, how much money do you make before you walk through a public school or you walk into a public school? So we want this opportunity for every child. We want to make sure that they have the best fit needs. And, I mean, as you pointed out, like, you know, students that are bullied are rich kids, poor kids. Like, we should support the best educational system for them. So New Hampshire is currently leading the way. I think we had a great program, and we're working on expanding it.
You know, here's what concerns me. We just shared the story out of Salem, Oregon, where you've got the schools that are intentionally dividing kids along racial lines. And we've got to stop that mess. That only leads to very bad things later in life. And I think we've seen that with a lot of millennials, you know, who were raised on critical race theory, Black Lives Matter education. And now those folks are out in, you know, out in the real world here. So I'm excited that you guys are trying to give parents more control over education in New Hampshire.
Well, Todd, I mean, quality of schools comes from choice. So, like, competition between schools makes them better. So just like in business, in the private sector, when you have options, schools are forced to improve or they shut down. So what we're doing in New Hampshire is making sure that parents have a right to choose where they're sending their child. And, you know, if public school enrollment is declining, the school districts need to ask themselves, why it's declining? Are they not providing a good product for the students in their district? And if that's the case, then they need to either change the narrative or fix their issues before they have no students left.
Isn't it fascinating, though? You've got other states out there. I know Mississippi's been making national headlines. They literally went from worst to first in education standards. They returned to very simple things like phonics, going back to the basics. Meanwhile, across the state line in Memphis, Tennessee, over 70% of the kids aren't even at reading level. And that tells me there's just an abject failure there in the public education system. And to your point, do you believe that parental involvement is going to help help reverse those trends?
Parental involvement is absolutely essential. I mean, you have districts in the state of New Hampshire that they're performing, you know, 30% in reading, 20% in science. I mean, there's a real failure of the public school system, and the only way that we're going to be able to fix it is if we allow choice and expand competition so that these districts are understanding that if you're not providing a good product for your students, you're not going to be in business any longer. And public school can mean a lot of different things. And in New Hampshire, we support the right of families to make that decision. And I think we are leaders, but That's why it's so important that we have states making these decisions, because what happens well, what goes well in Mississippi might not work in New Hampshire, but I think we're doing it right up here.
Yeah, you guys probably don't serve catfish or grits at lunch, I'm just assuming. I don't want to.
No.
I don't want to stereotype, but
maple syrup. Maple syrup up here.
Okay, there you go. All right, yeah, that works. All right. Wow. Well, congratulations. That's exciting. And folks, great things coming out of the state of New Hampshire, thanks to great lawmakers like State Representative Joe Alexander. Mr. Representative, thank you for coming on the show today.
Todd, thank you for the opportunity. Talk soon.
All right. I like this. This is about solutions. And again, if we're about to abolish the Department of Education, by the way, hasn't been abolished yet, but when we do, as has been promised, then you're going to have a lot of control going right back to the states and then the local communities. So you're going to want to make sure that you've got good, solid people elected to school boards. One of the things I'm excited about here in Memphis, my hometown, and where we broadcast our national program, is that the Shelby County Republican Party, the largest Republican party in Tennessee, they are on fire. They are focused. They are organizing. Get this, folks. They have, somebody's going to correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think 200% growth just in the past couple of months. People are running to join the Republicans. And the reason why is this. We are about to have partisan school board races in this area. So we're finally, we're going to know who the Republicans are and who the posers are. And you have to vote accordingly. So the Republicans here in Memphis are on a wartime footing now, and they're ready to fight. They're ready to fight for these kids. And that excites me. I mean, you've got places like Houston, and you guys know your independent school district there. You gotta fight for it. And if you don't fight for your school district, folks, you're gonna lose it. You're gonna lose it. So we've got to stand up for these teachers. And by the way, a lot of these poor teachers, they can't even do their jobs. They can't even educate the children. And you know why? Because they're doing all this government crap. They're having to fill out all this paperwork and this garbage. They're doing so much of that that they can't even actually teach the kids. And isn't that what it's about? Raising up good, strong citizens? Isn't that what our schools are supposed to be about? But you folks in Salem, Oregon, you've got to get a handle on this. This is not a cool thing that's going on. Let's go to Ron in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hey, Ron, what do you make of what the school district is doing?
I'm going to give you the history of it right now. 2021, you had Senator Lou Frederson, Senator James Ivory Manning Jr., who's the most blackest segregationist I've ever met. They have dialed it down with using BIPOC, that means black and indigenous people of color. They started this legislation trying to do reparations. And James Ivory Manning also right now has a bill that's trying to say that we want to give reparations. He has a bill that is wants to change the National Guard for 24 years in an army. He is the biggest racist outside of Robert Byrd or Mr. Farbus. And he started a situation. When you have the situation where you're giving money to illegal invaders, illegal aliens coming in the state of Oregon since 2021, and you tie down law enforcement hand with Senate Bill 1510 that says you can't pull nobody over, the results will come out to where right up the street from Adams Ribs, right there on State Street, up the street from the Capitol, the first incident in 62 years the owner of the cue ball has owned, there was a 15-person brawl. A week ago, this coming early Thursday morning.
Well, let me ask you, Ron. I'm sorry, that's a lot of inside the weeds baseball there. I mixed my metaphors. My apologies. But let me ask you a question here. What does this do? These kinds of segregated graduations. What kind of an impact do you think that's going to have on Salem?
The biggest impact it will have on Salem, it'll wind up doing what happened on Thursday. You're going to have fights. The mentor kid I had got stabbed and killed, one or two people, and it was an illegal invader, and you reward criminality, just like what's happening in South Africa today after Mandela. because we want to, and Afrikaners are getting destroyed. You say basically planted the seeds of destruction from the enemies within because of the enablement of our legislators, like James Ivory Manning Jr.
Well,
put race first instead of character.
That's exactly what's happening, putting race first instead of character. And that is a losing proposition every single time. Ron, I got to run. Thank you for the call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us today. Hope you're having a beautiful day across the greatest country that God ever created. What a great land. By the way, very excited about my brand new book, which we are in the, it's a month out, right? Well, coming up on it, June 17th is when my brand new book will officially be in bookstores. And I am so excited for you to be able to read this book. It is called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And I'm holding this up. Many of you watch us on Rumble, YouTube, X, also our Facebook Live. And so you're getting a nice glimpse of this book. Every person I've heard from loves the book cover, and it is absolutely beautiful. And I'll explain to you on book launch day, I'll explain to you there's a story behind the cover of Star Spangled Blessings. But this book, I think, is going to bring a lot of encouragement to you. And also, I believe this book is going to also educate your kids about why God blessed America. And we talk a lot about this. It is a 40-day devotion book. And we've also thrown in some delicious all-American recipes, including, may I just say, the meatloaf recipe that's included in this book is worth the it's worth the purchase price. I'm just telling you right now. But again, Star Spangled Blessings is going to introduce you to patriots who discovered the secret to happiness. And the secret to happiness was not politics or power, but it's a life lived as an ambassador for Christ. And you know, President Reagan, and I write a lot about President Reagan in this book and Dwight D. Eisenhower and the impact both of those men had on faith in the public sector. I also write about President Trump and the spiritual implications of the assassination attempt on his life. And we talk about that in the book as well. I would love for you to get a pre-ordered copy. And that's a big deal because I was listening to Mark Levin last night, and Levin was talking about how the publishing world is kind of flat right now. And the reason, and as a result of that, they're not publishing a lot of copies. So we want to make sure that we have enough copies to go on day one, which is why we want you to get out there and pre-order a copy. And do me a favor, get a copy for a friend, a loved one, maybe somebody you go to church with. Buy one for the church library. You're going to want to get this. It is a wonderful, wonderful gift book, and you're going to love it. If you love our Daily Biscuit book, you're going to love Star Spangled Blessings. So again, you can get it wherever you buy your books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, you name it, your local Christian bookstore, they will be able to pre-order a copy for you. All right, got to take a quick break, folks. Joe Biden in a wheelchair. Wait, what? We'll tell you about that coming up next. You know, for years, the media and the Democrat apparatus, the drive-bys, they all declared war on anybody who raised concerns about President Biden and his mental ability, his cognitive skills. As I said, a long time ago on Newsmax, it appeared that the cheese had done slid off the man's cracker. And it turns out that we were absolutely right. Now, there's a brand new book coming out May 20th, Jake Tapper from CNN, the author of this book. And the lack of self-awareness here on the part of the media apparatus is just jaw-dropping. So the name of the book is called Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again. Alex Thompson is the co-author and Axios reporter, and then Jake Tapper from CNN. So here's the question. Who's to blame for the cover-up? Is it the Democrats? Is it the media? Is it both? And the reason why there is a raging debate right now happening in the mainstream media, and they're trying to deflect any responsibility for this, and they're saying that the real blame has to be the elderly, the party elders, the older members of Congress, and the Biden administration itself. I would contend that the media bears even more responsibility because they had a front row view to this train wreck. Now, here's Jake Tapper explaining again how bad things had gotten. Cut number six.
Well, Alex Thompson and I were on the case, as were lots of other reporters, trying to figure out what was going on behind the scenes. But the bottom line is the White House was lying, not only to the press, not only to the public, but they were lying to members of their own cabinet. They were lying to White House staffers. They were lying to Democratic members of Congress, to donors, about how bad things had gotten. And in fact, Alex and I started writing this book after the election of 2024, and we spoke with more than 200 people, most of whom, almost all of whom, were Democrats, and almost all of whom wouldn't be honest with us or wouldn't be candid with us until after the election. And then after the election, we found out all of these things that, when you looked at what was going on with President Biden at the time, it probably doesn't surprise you the extent to which he was deteriorating. But now we have anecdotes and facts about what was really going on behind the scenes with details that Democrats wouldn't share with us until after Election Day.
You see, I just find this to be so scandalous. This is the greatest political cover-up in American history. We all saw it, but the media saw it. They're all lying. Jake Tapper's lying to your face. Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson, they are profiting off of their lies. That's what's happening here. And I want to go back in time. And by the way, before we play this audio, one of the allegations in the book is that Biden was so bad off and that his aides were so concerned about how much he had deteriorated that they had actually talked about using a wheelchair if he won re-election in 2024. They actually had those kinds of conversations. According to Axios, Biden's physical deterioration, most apparent in his halting walk, and by the way, they told us that was all, don't believe your lying eyes. They said, no, everything's fine. Biden's not walking weird. But according to the book, his walking had become so severe, there were internal discussions about putting the president in a wheelchair. Given Biden's age, his physician, Kevin O'Connor, privately said that if he had another bad fall, a wheelchair might be necessary for what could be a difficult recovery. I mean, the guy could have broken a hip. Remember when he was always falling on the stage, falling up the stairs, Air Force One. The authors also note that the president's doctor argued with Biden's aides, pardon the pun, trying to get them to build more rest time into the president's schedule, despite contemporaneous reporting that the Democrat only had a six-hour window of peak effectiveness and became fatigued and subject to verbal miscues outside of the hours of 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So anything outside those areas, who is running the country? Who's signing all of the legislation? And again, it goes back to a very important legal question. Are all of those orders, all of the bills, all of the pardons issued by Joe Biden, were those actually signed by his hand? Did Biden actually know what he was doing? Unbelievable. By the way, here's how bad it was. All right, we're going to play this. I'm going to play the audio first because I want you to hear this. So here's, so again, you just heard Jake Tapper, and they've got an entire book coming out about how there was this vast cover-up. Well, Jake Tapper was a part of it, and I want you to hear how he treated people whenever they would question whether or not Biden was mentally with it. Cut number nine.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
It's very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
This is so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
President Biden embraces his stutter, talking about it, while Trump mocks it, exaggerates it, belittles it. He's sharp physically. I mean, mentally.
Yeah.
I think the question is physically, right?
Right.
More so?
Right.
Right. And the guy who's his chief opponent is only 3 or 4 years younger than him.
Exactly.
I mean, you have questioned President Biden's age, mental fitness, ability to lead. Of those supporting Biden, you said, quote, shame on all of you pretending everything is okay. You're leading us and him into a disaster. Do you worry that you damaged him at all? I don't doubt that you got hugs and handshakes behind closed doors today, and maybe even publicly some of them because they like you personally. But I've heard a lot of really nasty stuff about you from your Democratic colleagues.
Sure.
I mean, just like, what is he thinking? Exercise in narcissism. I mean, false claims to the Wall Street Journal about President Biden's mental fitness and acuity. He's 81, and his memory, you know, it doesn't seem great. It's not horrible, but I don't understand the outrage. Quote, behind closed doors, Biden shows signs of slipping, unquote. The Wall Street Journal is owned by News Corp, which is run by the Murdochs. Beyond the headline, there is some critical nuance here. The article is mostly based on observations of Republicans, with former Speaker Kevin McCarthy the only one going on the record. They do note in the article that most of the criticism comes from Republicans. Have you heard any concerns from anyone who has met with President Biden about him seeming a little slower?
No.
The Russians are trying to do to make us and the public not trust our election integrity. Joe Biden has dementia, all this stuff.
We could spend the next 2 hours going through audio. That's just Jake Tapper. And again, Jake Tapper went out of his way to cover up for Joe Biden. And then he turns around and he writes a book exposing all of this, and they're trying to blame it on somebody else. I blame Jake Tapper. By the way, what's the Trump administration waiting on here? We have yet to have the Robert Hur tapes be released. Robert Hur, the special counsel, he was the guy in charge of investigating Biden's handling of classified documents. And the only reason that Biden was not referred for prosecution was because of his age. As a matter of fact, Robert Hur said at the time, after the recorded interviews, that Biden was a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. Those tapes are so damning, they were never released. Well, now the Republicans are in charge. The Trump administration is in charge. So what are we waiting for here, folks? Release the tapes. What are we waiting on here? What's really going on? Oh, by the way, there's another juicy little tidbit here. So it turns out that Joe Biden did not recognize his long dear friend, George Clooney, longtime dear friend, George Clooney, at a fundraiser. This was back in 2024. This was last year. Clooney and Biden, according to Axios, had known each other for 2 decades. But Biden's diminished physical appearance was a holy blank moment for Clooney, who had not seen Biden since 2022. For Clooney and many other Democrat supporters, Biden's appearance was a jarring sign of his physical and mental decline just before Biden's disastrous debate performance. The book quotes an aide telling Biden, oh, you know George, talking about George Clooney. Biden clearly did not realize who he was. Clooney was shaken to his core. The president had not recognized him, a man he had known for years. Clooney had expressed concerns about Biden's health before. A White House aide told him a few months before that they were working on getting the president to take longer steps when he walked, But obviously, the problem went far beyond his gate. This was much graver, adding that the others at the fundraiser described Biden as slow, almost catatonic. It was, to some of them, terrifying. So they all knew. They all knew. And they covered it up. George Clooney, writing in July of 2024, it's devastating to say it, but the Joe Biden I was with 3 weeks ago at the fundraiser was not the Joe Big Effing Deal Biden of 2010. It was like watching, this is how one Hollywood VIP described the president of the United States. It was like watching someone who was not alive. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Original sin, President Biden's decline, its cover-up, and his disastrous choice to run again. It looks that the chief sinners among them, Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson, wrote this thing. 901-260-5926. Who do you blame for the cover-up? 901-260-5926. Hey, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight on Newsmax, the Todd Starnes Show, and some big news to share with you. Iran now threatening to wipe Israel off the map and destroy America. UN inspectors say Iran close to getting nuclear weapons, just weeks away. President Trump just said in Saudi Arabia he will not let them do that, even moving two aircraft carriers to the area. This is a big story. Newsmax's Rob Finnerty covering it all this week and exposing the real threat. So tune in tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, for Rob's series, Stop Iran, and find out Trump's secret plan to fix all of this. You can watch Finnerty on Newsmax on all major cable systems. President Trump says he watches Newsmax all the time, and you should too. So download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. Sign up for Newsmax Plus to watch us anytime, anywhere. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax because it really is real news for real people. Welcome back, everybody. Just want to give you a heads up. You folks in North Carolina, your Senator Tom Tillis, now attacking President Trump's pharmaceutical drug executive order. So this executive order is going to lower the price of your prescription drugs. Tom Tillis is not a big fan of this. And the reason why is that Tom Tillis, like many other lawmakers on Capitol Hill, get big money from big pharma. I mean, that's just the way it goes. And it's shocking to a lot of people. I mean, we're talking about big time money. I'll just go down the list here. This is from Open Secrets. This is pharmaceutical money that was provided to U.S. senators. All right. So many between 1990 and 2024. All right. Many of these people went on to become president. Joe Biden, $9 million. Kamala Harris, $8 million. Barack Hussein Obama, $6 million. Hillary Clinton, $4 million. Willard Mitt Romney, $3 million. Bernie Sanders, $1.9 million. Mitch McConnell, $2 million. Are you beginning to understand now why Congress never did anything to stop these outrageous prices of drugs? John McCain, the late John McCain, $1.4 million. He's the guy that stuck us with Obamacare. Remember that? John McCain, the deciding vote. And because he hated Donald Trump so much, John McCain decided to stick it to the American people. Remember the big thumbs down vote? Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, $1.3 million from Big Pharma. It's not just Democrats, it's Republicans as well. John Cornyn from Texas, $1.1 million. Tim Scott, $1.1 million. Bill Cassidy, $1.2 million. By the way, Cassidy, my understanding is Cassidy is getting primaried. He could be a very short timer there on Capitol Hill. Tom Tillis, almost $1 million, $951,000 that Tom Tillis is getting. So I'm just wondering how many of you good people out there across North Carolina. If you had an option, would you vote for someone other than Tom Tillis as your next U.S. Senator? By the way, Tom Tillis now becoming the darling of the far left. Slate magazine says a Republican senator puts on his big boy pants, talking about Tom Tillis standing up to President Trump and blocking Ed Martin. This is just, it's just really sad what Tom Tillis is doing here. And by the way, we have the story up on our website, toddstearns.com, so you can read it for yourself. And you can see exactly what Tom Tillis is doing behind the scenes. And he's not the only one. He is not the only one. Now, when it comes to Big Pharma, folks, it is a mess, an absolute mess. And the amount of money we're talking about, you know, these senators, they don't want to give up this money, which is one of the reasons why they have been so fiercely opposed to any sort of a crackdown. Which, and you heard President Trump talking about his big fat friend who wanted to get the fat drug, and it was what, over $1,000 here in America, went over to the UK, and it was like $80. And Trump is saying, hey, wait a second, we got to do something about this. We got to fix this. It's not right. And of course it's not right. But the reason why, and you watch what's going to happen here. And by the way, these tariffs, watch out. I am telling you, President Trump is going to have a harder time getting votes from Republicans and Democrats. To that point, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to just be aware of what's going on here. Speaker Mike Johnson has yet to condemn the three Democrats who stormed the ICE immigration facility on Friday. He has also failed to issue a statement. His communications team, probably the worst in the business, by the way, they've got such a horrible reputation. But the Speaker Johnson is radio silent. And that tells me that these three Democrat lawmakers who beat up an ICE agent and stormed an ICE facility where they were housing very dangerous gangbangers and pedophiles, those people are not going to be brought to justice. There will not be charges filed against any of those Democrats. You got a problem with that, America? Give us a call. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it.
Someone sent me this story, and it brought back a lot of memories. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. There's a story in a great website called The Daily Yonder. The Daily Yonder is a news organization that focuses on country life, rural America. And they're talking about an issue in the state of Texas. And apparently a lot of Dairy Queen franchises are shutting down, and that's causing some angst in many of these small towns. And they say it's not because the ice cream is great and everybody loves a dilly. I mean, who doesn't love the dilly? I mean, it's delicious. Dairy Queen ice cream is great. And may I just say something here? One of the more underrated hamburgers is a Dairy Queen hamburger. They make some great burgers as well, and a good hot dog, but I digress. Anyway, it turns out that many of these Dairy Queens in these smaller towns and communities, they become the gathering spot for the community. And it wasn't just a matter of going there and getting some ice cream. It was you sat down and you ran into friends or neighbors and family members, and you sat down and you talked about whatever was going on. One of those Dairy Queens in the East Texas community of Huntington, and the reviewer, described an experience shared by many across the state. they talk about Dairy Queen and places like Dairy Queen as almost a third place. It's not home. It's not work. It's a place that anchors everything in between. Melissa Sadorf is a former school superintendent in a small Texas town, and she said that third places like Dairy Queen become a neutral zone where people gather out of choice. They're characterized by accessibility, a sense of inclusivity, a place of belonging. And it's true. You know, it's a sad thing to see that some of these places are going away. But apparently these big corporations that own a lot of these Dairy Queens and other restaurants in small towns are shutting them down. That's what happened in Huntington. The mayor, or the city manager, Bill Stewart, telling the Daily Yonder, "We were surprised. When it's here for years and years and years, it becomes a mainstay for the city. You just grow to expect it to always be there." But apparently across the state of Texas, there have been a wave of Dairy Queen closures that have hit small towns especially hard. We're talking about towns that only have fewer than 3,000 people. And I'm not going to get into the whole legal part of all of this, but a lot of people are wondering, why are these small Dairy Queens closing, these small town Dairy Queens? Maybe people don't like to gather like they used to. You know, the whole concept of Cracker Barrel came from a place in Jackson, Tennessee, called the Old Country Store. That was really what the Cracker Barrel restaurant chain was modeled after. This place, folks come, it's not just to get a good meal, but it's to sit down and chew the fat, have some good yarns, talk about the politics of the day. You know, back years ago, many of you may remember when Rush Limbaugh was very, very popular back in the 1990s. A lot of restaurants around town would have a Rush Limbaugh lunch where you could come and sit down, listen to the radio show, and you could have lunch. It was a communal gathering experience. No, Dylan, Waffle House would not include Waffle House there only because you want to get in and out of there as quickly as possible. You never know when somebody's going to break out, a gun or fight, Great food, don't get me wrong, but no, Waffle House would not be one of those. But I would say, for example, off the cuff here, Long Street Cafe in Gainesville, Georgia is a great little place to go. Great food. You want to sit around. They even have a table for a bunch of the old timers. What is the name of it? Somebody from Gainesville will call it and tell me the name of that table. I cannot remember. But anyway, it's a gathering spot. Many of you may have one of those in your town, in your community. I think for maybe a lot of people now, it's becoming a coffee house. But yeah, I feel bad for small town America if you're losing your Dairy Queen. In some places in the South, the Hardee's. Hardee's is a gathering place, a third place. But anyway, a lot of people there across Texas, they love their Dairy Queens. And my condolences to you. So anyway, and again, this is yet another reason why local is so important. And I would like to think that as important as Dairy Queen is, that maybe, just maybe, there are local mom and pop places that can provide the same kind of delicious ice cream or burgers or hot dogs, if you will. So anyway, it's a sad thing, but this is how it goes. A lot of people just don't like to gather. They don't like to be around people anymore. They've got their faces stuck in their phones. Can't stand that. 901-260-5926. Curious to hear, do you guys have like a local place? What's your like go-to place where the community just sort of gathers to hang out? Sometimes it was the gas station, by the way. I remember we had one in our small town in South Haven, Mississippi. A lot of folks used to go to the Rexall drugstore back in South Haven. Used to ride my bicycle down there after school every day. It's a lot of fun. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up in the show, we're going to be talking to a great American patriot, and she's exposing a crazy story out of California where a young man just won three state medals in a track and field meet for girls. just unbelievable. So we'll be talking to her in just a moment. I do want to share with you folks about our friends over at Old Glory Bank. You know, we've been hearing for so long about the big banks going in and causing big problems for conservatives and Christian groups, and that's what led our friends like Larry Elder and Dr. Ben Carson to launch Old Glory Bank, FDIC insured, which is great, and they support hardworking Americans and small businesses and your constitutional rights. There is no cancel culture at Old Glory Bank, just a bank that believes in faith, freedom, and the flag. And I want to encourage you to go and check out what they're doing at oldglorybank.com/Starnes. That's oldglorybank.com/Starnes. It's banking founded on freedom for freedom-loving Americans. It takes literally seconds to open up an account, and you're going to love this. An organization founded by patriots for patriots, including former Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon Christensen, Larry Elder, John Rich, Dr. Ben Carson, and it really is the bank for freedom-loving Americans. A lot of people say, what's going on? What do they have? Well, you're going to get personal and business banking, customer service from Americans so you can understand what they're saying. And by the way, those Americans based in Oklahoma, you're going to be able to have cash deposits at over 88,000 stores nationwide. You've got mobile check deposit, bill pay, home loans, business loans, and advanced debit card controls. OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. I want to encourage you to go and check them out right now. Let's go to Larry in Commerce, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Larry, I understand you have a Dairy Queen story.
I've got a Texas Dairy Queen story. I was driving in northern Texas. I came into a little town called Waxahachie. So I also pulled into a Dairy Queen, and the lady came up, and I said, ma'am, how do you pronounce the name of this place? And she said, Dairy Queen. I was talking about the town. Oh. But that was up in northern Texas.
You got the name of the town right, but it's Dairy Queen. Dairy Queen.
You got it. Larry. All right, Mr. Starnes. Enjoy. Love listening to you.
All right. Thank you, Larry, for that good laugh. Let's go to Ferguson, listening to us in Obion, Tennessee on WTJS. Hey, Ferguson, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. This is Greg. How you doing?
I'm great, Greg. My apologies.
No, that's fine. That's fine. No, the little town that we live in, about 100 miles north of Memphis, is called, have a little place called the Dairy Hut. And it's locally owned there, and it's a gathering place every morning for breakfasts and for lunch and just Friday night, fish night, and just a good gathering place for everybody in the community to come, and we're kind of glad to have it.
You know, Greg, I think that's what makes small town living so fun is you've got one of those places, great food, you know, great conversation. Is there one thing in particular you like over at the Dairy Hut?
Their breakfast is, to me, that's probably the best meal. I mean, they've got a lot of good things. Their fish is good, but they make a great breakfast in the morning, low priced. I mean, very economical, and just the camaraderie with all the guys and all the people we sit around and talk to every day.
I love it. And you got to have one of those, every one of those places, Greg, they've always got a table set aside for the old guys, the old timers. And they're usually there at the crack of dawn and don't leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some of us are still in that working mode and some of us are in retired mode. So we have shifts coming in and out all the time. but it's a great place. And I left Memphis 42 years ago and moved up here because this is where my dad's from. So I've always been partial to small towns. I still like Memphis, but I like living in a small town.
I hear you. You know, somebody told me, and this is my life right now, Greg. I'm after the show driving over to Rossville, Tennessee. Someone said there's a fill-in station between Rossville, Tennessee and Collierville that has a great burger, one of the best burgers in West Tennessee. So I'm going to hunt them down this afternoon.
Yeah, when I was growing up, there was a place in Germantown. It was a little deli, little grocery store there in Germantown that had some of the best sandwiches and food. I remember growing up, we'd go by there a lot.
All right. Well, if you want a good chicken salad, go to West Street Diner in Germantown. They've got a great sandwich, and it's a good place, and it's a good meat and three. Of course, last Friday, we had the pleasure of going to a place in Hernando, Mississippi called Junior's Eaton House. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't care where you are, if you're in Portland, Maine, or Salem, Oregon, you need to come to Memphis just to go to Hernando to eat at Junior's Eaton House. The catfish is off the charts. Hey, Greg, I got to run, my friend, but thank you for telling us about the Dairy Hut. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starn Show. All right, folks, welcome back. A crazy story out of California. And again, young girls across America under attack by these radical transgender folks, academic community. Our next guest was there at a big track and field event over the weekend in California. Her name is Sophia Lori. She is the outreach director for the California Family Council, also the host of a great podcast called This is a Woman podcast. Sophia, good to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me on today.
All right. This is just an insane story. This all took place at a track and field meet. So take us from there and tell us what happened.
Yeah. So this past weekend, it was the Division III CIF, which CIF is the governing board of high school sports in the state of California. They had their preliminaries for track and field. And I started getting calls and texts from parents saying, my daughter has to compete against a boy this weekend. There's a male competing. What do we do? And so as I looked into it, I realized in girls' triple jump, high jump, and long jump, so three different events, the top seed going into the weekend was a male. And so we decided to stand with these girls, stand in support of them, and they decided they wanted to compete. This was in order to make it to finals. So they went this weekend, they competed, and we had to watch girls lose the opportunity to make it to CIF finals due to a male. They only took the top nine of each of the events. So three different girls now don't get to make it to CIF finals for this weekend due to a male. He took first in one of them, tied for first in another, and got third in long jump. So we are watching girls' sports be erased and girls be completely physically and mentally affected. Girls were crying. Girls were in tears when they recognized they might not make it to finals due to being displaced by a male.
I thought it was interesting, the reaction from some of the fathers in the stands.
Yes, yeah, as the male, A.B. Hernandez, went to compete in the high jump, we're there, we're watching, and it's very evident that he's able to jump higher than these girls. It's very evident that he is a male. He doesn't look like a female. And as he went to jump, some fathers that were there started yelling, he's a boy, that's a man, he's a boy. Really wanting to bring attention to this because of what their daughters and what girls in their community are having to go through.
And what about some of the girls? I understand some of them were wearing, T-shirts, pink T-shirts, to protest all this nonsense?
Yes, yeah. So two of the girls that were competing, they decided they wanted to take a stand against this. And so they made a bunch of pink T-shirts that just said in very large, bold letters, protect girls' sports. And it was a beautiful sight to see with these two girls starting off the day wearing these shirts at the event. You saw parents in the stands wearing these shirts. And then all of a sudden, athletes from across the entire event were coming up and asking how they can get the shirts, where they can buy the shirts. And by the end of the day, as you walked around the track, you saw multiple athletes, multiple parents in these bright pink T-shirts. The only downside is if the athletes wanted to enter the track, which is where they had to go to compete, CIF was forcing them to take off the shirts to enter the track.
So, Sophia, I know we've been facing this issue all across the country. What are you hearing from moms and dads in California? Are you starting to see a groundswell to rise up and protest this?
Absolutely. Moms and dads in California are done with this happening. They're done with their daughters losing their opportunity to play sports, losing their fair and safe opportunity with sports. And people think, oh, it's California. It's a lost cause. It's such a blue state. But that's not the case with this issue of males taking female spots. we're seeing parents have an uprising against this. Parents are speaking out. We had parents speak out at our press conference about this weekend. And, you know, this is an 80-20 issue across the nation, and we're kind of seeing that same reflection here in California. Californians don't want this.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And again, it's a reminder, you got to stay put, folks, and you got to fight. Fight for your state. Fight for your city and your county, your neighborhood, and fight for your kids. And Sophia, I'm so happy to see that you guys are doing that.
Yes, absolutely. Here in the state of California, we have had so many people leave because they thought California is a lost cause. Yeah, we're seeing the numbers change, the tide turn. And here's the thing. As California goes, so does the nation. So we need to fight and stand and win here in California.
All right. Well said. And tonight, you're going to be joining me on my Newsmax show. We have exclusive video and photos that we will show you from this track and field meet that Sophia was talking about. Sophia, thanks for hopping on the radio show this afternoon. We'll see you on TV later this evening.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right. Great American patriot, great lady right there, Sophia Lorie. And we'll be talking to her tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Wow. Keep fighting, girls. Good for you. Good for you. All right, 901-260-5926. Going to the phones coming up. All right, I am going old school, and I remember when I was in high school, my dad got transferred down to right outside of New Orleans. There's a little community called St. John the Baptist Parish, and the town was LaPlace, which is where we lived, and I went to high school there at East St. John the Baptist Parish High School. It was hard to get that on the back of the jerseys, but somehow they managed. Anyway, there was a great place we all used to go to. This was back in the 80s. It was called the Frost Stop. Does anybody remember the Frost Stop? It was, if I recall correctly, it had the logo was sort of a giant root beer mug. I mean, that was like the sign. Back in the day, before KFC became KFC and it was Kentucky Fried Chicken, if you remember, there was a massive giant bucket, a rotating bucket outside the KFC Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurants. Well, this was a giant mug of root beer, and it was called a Frost Stop. I don't know if that was just, it may have just been a Louisiana thing, but we used to love that. Every day after school, we would all drive down, and much like people, I guess, now go to Sonic, which is okay, but it wasn't the Frost Stop. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926, Stephen in Moorhead City, North Carolina. Hey, Stephen, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. Listen, great show, and today this is going to be one of your all-time greats. Great topic. You took me right down memory lane. Here in Moorhead City, back in the 60s, when we were young people, where we'd go. We'd be at the Dairy Queen. And it's been that way all these years. It's still here now. And let me tell you something. Now, and they always make sure us old folks have a table on the inside. And it's still to this day. If they ever try to close that thing down, they're going to need the National Guard. we won't let them. And I'll tell you something else. I think you did mention this. And, you know, the kids like the soft cut. They've got, I think, some of the best hamburgers you're ever going to eat in your life.
Right.
They really do that. Yes, don't they?
They really do. And I had ordered one. I didn't even know that. I had no idea they even served food. I just always went there for, you know, a dilly bar or some of the soft. You know, I love how they poured the chocolate over the cones, the chocolate dipped cone. I had no idea they had great burgers, but they have great burgers.
They really do, and we need to support places like that because I grew up in High Point, North Carolina, and there's a place that just closed, and it was just, it's where we grew up. It's where our mama would drop us off, and she'd go shopping next door to Big Bear grocery store, and we'd get a big plate of barbecue chopped from Kepley's Barbecue on Main Street in High Point, North Carolina. I mean, that was, and I grew up on that, and I grew up with them. I mean, they basically babysitted us, you know, from the time we were very young. And that place finally closed, and that's why it's so very important. It really is. Something like a Dairy Queen closing, that's not good.
Well, and it's especially if you're a small town and there just aren't a lot of options. But you're right. I remember there was a there's a great place in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and we used to go a lot to Greenville and Spartanburg, and it's called the Beacon Drive-In. And that thing has been around since 1946, and they are still churning out burgers and sweet onion rings, French fries. And they call it a plenty. They're known for their chili cheese a plenty. And I'm telling you, it's a plenty. I'm surprised they don't have a cardiologist office set up right next door, Stephen. It really is that good.
You know, in Kepley's, they opened in 1940. And it was a hard go right then because the war was on. And that's all they knew how to do was make food. And so that's how that really became. And the fire station with the old fire pole, they used to go down the fire pole. I can still remember that. It was right across the street. Places like that, we need to invest in that.
Small Absolutely.
Towns, we really do.
Yeah, I'm with you, Stephen. And again, that's, you know, we always just, you know, the radio station I own, the national show, whenever we're out on the road, we always try to shop local, eat local. We don't want to eat at one of the big chains. We want to go to, a local place, you know, that's locally owned. And those Dairy Queens, most of them were pretty much locally owned back in the day. So I'm with you 1,000%. Stephen, thank you for calling in. Let's go to Charles in Gainesville, Georgia. Hey, Charles, I understand you grew up in Germantown, Tennessee.
I did. I graduated from Germantown High School, and we used to go down to the commissary. They're on Germantown Road that I guess it was across from the old City Hall police station right there at the railroad tracks. And
Charles, the commissary, you will be proud to know the commissary is still there and it is still in business.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And then another place that people would hang out, primarily the police, with was the Dobbs House. It was on Highway 72, and we used to joke about the police who are always racing with their sirens to get to the Dobb House.
And it's called I'm not familiar with that. It's called the Dobbs House?
Yeah, I think it's gone. And another one was the Rexall, drugstore that had the sandwich or the deli bar or whatever you call the lunch counter, which is what they called it back then. And I could remember my mother was in charge of beautification of Germantown. And as a little kid, it was my job to be a litter bug. And they took one of the old jails from they were remodeling the jail. They put the old jail like cage in front of the Rexall, and myself and some of my friends got to get in the jail and eat junk food and throw wrappers out.
Wow. Let me tell you something. The commissary, the ribs are great. They have an amazing hamburger there at the commissary, but their banana pudding, I'm telling you, your tongue will slap your brain. It really is that good.
Yeah, that's, I hear it's still good. I haven't been up there in a while. My brother and sister still live there, and my dad was a famous architect there. He designed the Clark Towers with the American flag on it. So.
Well, and you'll be pleased to know our studios are right in the shadow of Clark Tower, and that American flag is still there. And, Charles, who's your dad? We got to give him a shout-out now.
That's Robert Lee Hall.
Robert Lee Hall. Well, I'll be. It's a beautiful architecture, and it's a great building, Clark Tower. And I know a lot of our listeners in Memphis on KWAM will know that name quite well. Charles, thank you for that ride down memory lane, and don't be a stranger. Come on by the commissary and grab some of that great banana pudding. It's good stuff. All right, 901-260-5926. Ladies and gentlemen, I know we have a lot of new listeners out in the panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma, New Mexico, and you're thinking, what the heck is going on the radio right now? Well, this is what we do. Sometimes we take a pivot, we take a turn, we get off on a country road, and we talk about things like the Chat and Chew in Jackson, Tennessee, with Jim on the line. Hi, Jim. I'm not familiar with the Chat and Chew.
You're not. They're famous for the 50s, 40s, and 50s.
Is that right? Now, tell me about the Chat and Chew, Jim.
It was a place where the young kids went to hang out after school. They had great burgers, great shakes. It was based on the movies you'd seen where the girls run around there with the little skates on.
And oh, yeah.
They skated around and took the orders.
They got pretty good tips, too, back in the day, Jim, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And
I think the reason they wore those skates was so that the boys couldn't, you know, they could outrun the boys.
You got that right. Yeah, we had one right behind Southside School in Jackson, Tennessee.
Is that right?
And, yeah, when school was out, that's where everybody, the kids, even the families went there and they hung out.
Well, I'll be. What a great story. Jim, I'm sure other listeners remember the Chat and Chew, and I suspect they'll be calling in. Jim, God bless you, and thank you for calling. By the way, back at Ridgecrest, you know, in the Southern Baptist faith tradition, I don't know where all you Catholics go in the summertime, but all the Baptist kids, we got shipped off to Ridgecrest in North Carolina for a good old week of summer camp, and Ridgecrest is up in the mountains right outside of Asheville. And it's really a beautiful place. But we had a little spot there, a little ice cream shop called the Nibble Nook. And there was a lot of hanky-panky going on at the Nibble Nook. I'm just going to tell you, a lot of Baptist marriages started at the Nibble Nook. I'll just leave it at that. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Bob in Jackson, Tennessee. A lot of Jackson, Tennessee callers today. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Dog and Suds, I think, is who you're trying to think of, that had the root beer. They served it in iced mugs, and I think that's why they went out of business, because everybody stole their
mugs.
Their mugs.
That's terrible.
But Dairy Queen's going out in small towns, especially. It's hard to find people to work. It'll do.
Is that right? That seems to me that would be one of the most coveted jobs.
Well, for a local, you know,
for a kid, yeah,
small town.
Well, Bob,
as
you're
far as hangout,
Bob. How old are you? Let me ask you a personal. How old are you, Bob?
68.
Do you remember? Did they have soda jerks back when you were a teenager?
At Woolworth, they did.
All right. So those used to be the great jobs, because the girls would come, and my dad used to tell me these stories. Back in the 50s, if you were a soda jerk, you know, the girls would come and sit on the stools, and they would have a captive audience there, you know, with the soda jerk. So that was like a great job for a guy, searching for a girlfriend.
That would have been before my time. We did eat at Woolworth, but... I was just a kid at the time.
I love it. Well, that's a tragedy that, you know, the Dairy Queens just can't find, you know, kids willing to work. You know, that's one of the things that I love about Chick-fil-A, is you've got all these homeschoolers mostly working at the Chick-fil-A's, and you get great service. Maybe Dairy Queen could borrow a page from that. Bob, thank you for the call. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I wonder, there's one more thing before we go to break. There is a great place right off the square in downtown Gainesville, and I don't know if it's still there, but years ago I used to pop over every time I was in Gainesville for a book signing, I would pop over to the Collegiate Grill for a chili slaw dog. And if you haven't had a chili slaw dog, then you're a heathen. You need to go and you repent. So if it's there, somebody let me know, because we're going to be going through Gainesville later this summer, and I may have to make another pit stop. We'll be right back. All right. I don't like to say I told you so, but ladies and gentlemen, I told you so. So on Friday, we had a situation at this ICE immigration facility in New Jersey, and the problem is that nobody was arrested except for the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. And this guy is going to be in court tomorrow, but it's going to be a misdemeanor charge, and they'll probably throw it out. But the three members of Congress, the three Democrat members of Congress who were there and who stormed the gates, who attacked, physically attacked ICE agents, they were not arrested. Speaker Mike Johnson refuses to address it. He refuses to condemn it. He's not doing anything. They're just turning a blind eye. The Justice Department, they're not going after these criminal thugs. And I don't care if you're a member of the House or the Senate, but if you lay hands on a federal agent, you go to jail. It's really that simple. These people need to be run out of Congress, but nothing was done. And I said on this program, and it was yesterday, by the way, I said the problem is that if you don't address this, you're going to have a bigger problem on your hands. And here is the breaking news coming out of Newark, New Jersey, where you have Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader of the House, and he is now warning Homeland Security agents that if they arrest anybody, that it's a line in the sand, and he is threatening violence without actually coming out and threatening violence. But beyond that, we've just now learned that another mob has formed outside of the facility. There are armored vehicles now en route. So that's going to get ugly. I mean, it's going to get ugly and it's going to get violent. And now you have the leader of the Democrats. And here was what he said. He was asked a question. Chad Pergram over at Fox asked the following question of Hakeem Jeffries. What happens if ICE tries to arrest Democrat members who obstruct ICE? And Jeffries said, they'll find out. That's a red line. Well, what does that mean? And that's what the reporter said. Pergram said, what does that mean? They'll find out. No, well, what do you mean by they'll find out? He was basically pulling an AOC and a Jasmine Crockett, saying the same thing over and over and over again. They'll find out. So, ladies and gentlemen, as much as it may pain the Republicans, they have got a man up here. The Republicans are going to have to man up, and they're going to have to go in and arrest these people. We have got to set an example. We must set an example here. If you lay hands on any federal employee, boom, you're gone. Off to jail with you. But I'm telling you, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And guess what's going to happen? We're going to get more of this kind of nonsense. I mean, if the Democrats want to, and by the way, what's the point of storming this facility? The purpose of storming the facility is to set free the people that are trapped inside. So who are the people inside? Well, they're gangbangers and they're pedophiles. That's what we're talking about here. So we'll keep you updated on this. Again, I'll be talking about it tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Unbelievable what's going on there. All right, folks, just a reminder. We have a lot of new listeners, and I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. First of all, you need to download my free podcast. You can go back and listen to all 3 hours of the radio show. Maybe you missed an interview. You can go back, listen to those interviews free of charge. ToddStearns.com. Click on the podcast, and you'll be able to subscribe. However you get your podcast, you'll be able to subscribe. Also, we put out a daily newsletter, the Todd Stearns Morning Update. It comes out every morning with the top 3 stories that you will not find in other places, along with other great information. And again, that is free of charge. There are so many people asking you to spend money. These are freebies for you, and it is great information. Our team works very hard to put out both of these great products, so be sure to do that, ToddStearns.com. And speaking of spending money, you do need to spend some money by pre-ordering a copy of my brand new book. Is called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. I want you to get a copy of this book. It's going to really encourage you and inspire you and inspire your kids as well and your grandkids. All right, folks, been a lot of fun. Get out there. You be safe. Be good, America.